Hare Krishna, welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have her, Grace Kala Sudha Mataji, to enlighten us on topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, 25th chapter, 108 verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Kala Sudha Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining and giving your valuable attention and time this morning. Please take over the call, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much to all the organizers for giving this opportunity. Very grateful to all of you. Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 25, entitled The Residents of Varanasi Become Vaishnavas. Reading from verse 108 to 118. Text 108. Amaru kripaye shabu spuru koto mare ato bolitino tatva kohilo tahare. Lord Krishna assured Lord Brahma, by my mercy, all these things will be awakened in you. Saying this, the Lord began to explain the three truths, tattvas, to Lord Brahma. Text 109. By my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestations, qualities, and pastimes. Text 110. Before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord said, I existed, and the total material energy, material nature, and the living entities all existed in me. Text 111. After creating the cosmic manifestation, I entered into it. Whatever you see in the cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of my energy. Text 112. When the whole universe dissolves, I remain full in myself, and everything that was manifested is again preserved in me. Text 113. Prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist, and no phenomena exist, either gross, subtle, or primordial. After creation, only I exist in everything. And after annihilation, only I remain eternally. Text 114. In the verse beginning Aham Eva, the word Aham is expressed three times. In the beginning, there are the words Aham Eva. In the second line, there are the words Paschad Aham. At the end are the words So, Smi Aham. This Aham indicates the Supreme Person. By the repetition of Aham, the transcendental personality who is complete with six opulences is confirmed. Text 115. Impersonalists do not accept the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is stressed in this word, in this verse, in order to impress upon them the necessity of accepting him. Therefore, the word Aham is mentioned three times. To stress something important, one repeats it three times. Text 116. Lord Krishna continued, actual spiritual knowledge and its practical application are considered in all these sound vibrations. Although the external energy comes from me, I am different from it. Text 117. Sometimes the reflection of the sun is experienced in place of the sun, but its illumination is never possible independent of the sun. Text 118. When one is transcendentally situated, he can perceive me. This perception is the basis of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. Now let me explain further this subject matter. Om Ajnana Timirantasya Dhyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanath Swamini Dinamine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Jaya Pataka Swamini Dinamine Nama Acharya Padaya Nithai Kripa Pradayine Gorakatha Dhamadaya Nagara Gramatharine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadharini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangur Langayati Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Vinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Hare Krishna. So, here we see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is actually talking about, he's setting the scene, so to speak, for the Chatushloki Bhagavatam to be explained here. The Chatushloki Bhagavatam, the text 109, is the verse that is just before the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. Chatushloki Bhagavatam is from Canto 2, Chapter 9, Text 33, 34, 35, and 36. These four verses are the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which was which Lord Brahma himself also taught Uddhava. Brihaspati taught Uddhava actually, and so you know this Chatushloki Bhagavatam is considered to be the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here we are setting the scene, setting the stage, so to speak, of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here Lord Krishna, he is telling here, Mahaprabhu is quoting the words of Sri Krishna, what he is talking to Lord Brahma. That Krishna is telling to Lord Brahma that by my mercy, all these things will be awakened in you. Saying this, the Lord began to explain the tattvas to Lord Brahma. When we sing Guru Puja every day, we say that we do not have any qualifications to understand Divya Gyan, to understand the spiritual knowledge, to understand scriptural knowledge. We don't have any qualification for that. But Divya Gyan Hride Prakashita. Divya Gyan manifests in the from our heart. As and when the spiritual master is pleased by our service, then Divya Gyan automatically is manifest in our heart. This is the same way that spiritual knowledge was received by Lord Brahma himself, which is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam, the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first verse, first chapter, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the verse that starts is Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Janmadhyasya Yato Anvayat Itaratas Charitheshu Abhigya Swaram Tene Brahmaridaya Aditavaya Mohyantiya Surayaha Tejavari Mridam Yatha Vinivaya Yatra Trisharva Amrusha Dhamna Sena Sada Nirast Kuhakam Satyam Param Dhinam. So here it is said in this first verse that we offer our respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna, that the Krishna, he is the, you know, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the original living entity, Ya Adi Kavaye, is Lord Brahma. And this Lord Brahma, the original living entity, he was first imparted the knowledge of, the Vedic knowledge was imparted unto the heart of Lord Brahma when Krishna was pleased with Lord Brahma. Tene Brahma Rida Ya Adi Kavaye. That, you know, it's not that Brahma went to, you know, any kind of school or, you know, he learnt everything. Of course, he did meditation for many, many years, and being pleased by that meditation, finally Krishna appeared through his sound vibration. Krishna appeared through the sound vibration, and with his musical notes of the flute, Krishna actually manifested the knowledge, the Vedic knowledge, in Brahma's heart. Tene Brahma Rida. So this is how spiritual knowledge is imparted. You know, even in the previous days, we know how it was all, you know, people were all smritidhars. They were all shrutidhars. You know, nothing was written down. We think that, you know, we've considered ourselves to be very advanced because we know the use of computers in our day-to-day life. We feel that olden days people, you know, people in the back years, in the Vedic age, people were not so advanced. They did not even know any kind of use of computers because their brain themselves were computers. Their brains were faster than computers. And their brains, you know, computers can crash. Their brains should never crash. That's the beauty of Vedic knowledge. That's the beauty of Vedic science. That's the beauty of the intelligence of the people of the previous ages. Using of computers, using of technology in today's day and age is showing our incompetence. It is showing our poor fund of knowledge. It's not any sign of advancement. Nothing really to be proud of. Because when we hear that these, you know, Vyasadeva, he's the writer of these Vedic literatures. And he knew them on the tip of his tongue. You know, it's like Mother Saraswati was just, you know, like flowers were coming out from their mouth. They knew everything by heart. They shrutid hers. They listen one time and they remember. That's how, you know, advanced technology was in those days. How advanced the human brain was in those days. So, you know, nowadays we should not be that proud of our so-called intelligence, because our intelligence is really corroded nowadays. We are not really intelligent. And we cannot really claim to be the most intelligent people on the planet today. We cannot. So here, Krishna is saying that the Lord, by saying this, the Lord began to explain the tattvas to Lord Brahma. And text 109 is a direct quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, 9th chapter, text 32. Which is saying that by my causeless mercy, be enlightened in truth about my personality, manifestations, qualities, and pastimes. You know, sometimes what happens is impersonalists, Mayavadis, they quote the Srimad Bhagavatam, this Chatushloki, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, they use it to misconstrue things to suit their selfish ends. They say, by quoting the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam, they say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not a person. But how can he not be a person when the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is actually talking about a personality? Only a personality can exhibit qualities. Only a personality can exhibit pastimes. Only a, you know, personality can have, you know, these kind of manifestations. If it was someone impersonal, you know, a light cannot express any quality. They cannot have any kind of pastimes. A light can never have any kind of pastimes. It has to be a person. So sometimes these, you know, impersonal philosophies, they can be so easily defeated. You know, that's how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the reason why he's setting the stage here for the Chatushloki Bhagavatam is because he is using these Chatushloki Bhagavatam to talk about, you know, how impersonalist philosophies can be defeated. Because here, the personality of Godhead is being glorified. Not just his, and when we talk about personality of Godhead, his tattvas, you know, what are his tattvas, what are his manifestations, what are his, you know, attributes, what are his qualities, what are his different pastimes. All of this come when we talk about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is what is described, being described here. And then Mahaprabhu goes on to explain that before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Lord said, I existed and the total material energy, material nature and the living entities all existed in me. So here something very similar is talked about in Srimad Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself in a very, you know, condensed version. It's talked about in chapter 2, text 12. Krishna says, Natva evaham jatunasam, natvam neme janadhipaha, nachaivana bhavishyamaha sarve vayam akakaram. That never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings. And never will be a time, nor in the future, that any of us will cease to exist. So the same thing, the same tattva, the same principle is being talked about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We see a relation amongst these three different scriptures at different levels. You know, Srila Prabhupada always said, Srimad Bhagavad Gita is for, you know, in the school level. Srimad Bhagavatam is university level. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is PhD. So when we talk about Chaitanya Charitamrita, we will see that whatever we have learned in Srimad Bhagavad Gita and whatever we've learned in Srimad Bhagavatam, the encompassed study of these two scriptures is found in Chaitanya Charitamrita in much more depth. The philosophy is explained with a lot of rasas, a lot of Nityarian pastimes. It's not just philosophy. It is explained, you know, just like how we have, you know, in West Bengal, there's a very special sweet. It is called Kheer Kadam. Kadamba, as we all know, it's a kadamba flower. So kheer means, you know, condensed milk, which is, you know, dried up nicely when the milk is cooked down and it's made into a condensed thick version. So they make a nice, you know, laddu out of it. Kheer laddus, it's called. So kheer kadamba is a special kind of sweet where you put one rasagulla inside the pocket of a laddu, this kheer laddu, and you cover it up, and then you, you know, just coat it again with some dry kheer. So it's this two layer. As soon as you bite into this, you see that outside it will be kheer. It will be nice dry kheer, sweetened kheer, but inside will be this juicy rasagulla. That is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita, whenever Srila Prabhupada would, you know, have Chaitanya Charitamrita when it came out fresh from the press, the first copies, the first edition, when it came out and when it was presented to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was so happy. And he said, he took the book in his hand, the Chaitanya Charitamrita in his hand, he tore out the, you know, the plastic coverings and everything, and he literally smelled that fresh copy of Srimad, you know, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srila Prabhupada said, this is the real Bengali rasagulla. Prabhupada said, it's so nectarian, so sweet, so delicious. Every bite is delicious. So that is Chaitanya Charitamrita, just kheer kadam. So much nectar. It may appear that we are discussing philosophy here, which can appear to be very dry, but it's so much encompassed with, you know, sweetness. As soon as we bite, the juicy rasagulla taste just comes and dives and, you know, drenches our consciousness in Gauranga rasa. That is the beauty of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So here, Mahaprabhu is explaining these philosophical points, but we need to understand how and with what kind of mood Mahaprabhu is doing this. Mahaprabhu is, you know, trying to transform the hearts of these Vaishnavas at Varanasi, which are filled with impersonalist sannyasis, Mayavadi sannyasis. So to transform their hearts, Mahaprabhu is giving them this kind of philosophy, along with the ecstatic chanting of the holy names of Krishna, by making, allowing them to witness the ecstasies of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, his ecstasy. Mahaprabhu is giving them an opportunity. You know, he's opening that window to the spiritual world where they're witnessing the Supreme Lord dancing in ecstasy in ecstasy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy of pure Krishna prema. That's like the ultimate mercy. And that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is also teaching them the philosophy so that they can accept. You know, Mahaprabhu always said that he always, you know, shared Krishna consciousness to people at different, you know, levels. He, Mahaprabhu, taught, you know, the, you know, to a humble, Sikh Vaishnava like Vasudev. Such a humble, sincere Vaishnava. He was so sick. He was so, you know, ill-treated, mistreated by everybody. He was laughed upon. He was ewed by everybody. He was a leper. He was suffering from leprosy. But in his consciousness, Vasudev was none other than, you know, he had the consciousness of a pure Vaishnava. Such sincere Vaishnava. And Mahaprabhu reciprocated with that. He embraced Vasudev in spite of his, you know, seemingly external ugly body. Mahaprabhu embraced that Vaishnava and blessed him with Krishna prema. When Mahaprabhu was traveling South India, anybody who came in touch with Mahaprabhu, the Kurma Brahmana, Mahaprabhu told Kurma Brahman, Kurma Brahman wanted to leave the grihastha life, he wanted to leave his family and just go along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, travel with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu said, no. You stay at home and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Jare rakho tare kaho Krishna Upadesh. Amar agyai guru hoya taro idesh. That I am instructing you, you should stay here at home and preach Krishna consciousness to whoever you come across with. And I am instructing you that by my instruction you become guru and deliver all the world. Deliver all the people here. That is my instruction to you. You don't have to travel with me. That was the kind of mercy that Mahaprabhu gave to Kurma Brahmana. Then Mahaprabhu met Ramananda Roy on the banks of the Godavari. What a beautiful conversation Mahaprabhu had at a completely different level, that conversation with Ramananda Roy, Mahaprabhu had. When Ramananda Roy was talking about Krishna, the different pastimes, Mahaprabhu would say, Iha Bhajya. No, this is all external. Talk, go higher, go higher, go higher. And how much higher they went in discussing the philosophy. They started at this level, but they went up to the level of the pure loving reciprocation for Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, because that was the level that Ramananda Roy was in. So Mahaprabhu discussed Krishna Katha with him at that level. And to the regular people in general, to the animals at the Jharkhand forest, how did Mahaprabhu make them crazy in ecstasy? The animals are not ready to understand philosophy, but their hearts, their atmas can recognize the call of the Paramatma. So when the external manifestation of the Paramatma, Gauranga Mahaprabhu himself, is dancing through the forest of Jharkhand, the elephants, the frogs, the deers, the monkeys, everybody, every living entity, the jungle, entire forest, was dancing in ecstasy along with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That is Mahaprabhu's potency. That be it impersonalist at Varanasi, be it a humble Brahmana like Vasudeva, be it a dedicated Grihastha like Kurma Brahmana, or be it a great minister like Ramananda Roy, or even let it be a priest, a head priest, who was a Mayavadi, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, or be it the animals of Jharkhand. Mahaprabhu's main purpose was to transform the hearts of these living entities. Just to transform the hearts so that they can chant and dance in emotional ecstasy of pure love of God. That was the purpose. That is why this Chaitanya Charitamrita is the ultimate PhD material. This is the reason why. So here in text 111, Krishna goes on to explain that after creating the cosmic manifestation, I entered into it. Whatever you see in the cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of my own energy. So here in text 110, it is saying that before the creation, what happens? Krishna is explaining what happens before the creation. That before the creation, the entire cosmic manifestation, I exist. I am there. And this entire material energy, the material nature, and the living entities, everyone was also there. But they were all in me. They were not externally manifested. They were all residing inside of me. And after that, he's saying that then when the creation actually takes place, then everyone becomes externally manifest. And I enter into them. Whatever we see in the cosmic manifestation is an expansion of my own energy. And then Mahaprabhu explaining that in text 112, that when the entire universe is dissolved, when the whole universe dissolves, means when there is annihilation, then I remain full in myself. And everything that was manifest comes back to me, is again preserved in me. So it's just like when Mahavishnu, he exhales. All living entities, all the material creations, they all come out. They exist. The Lord enters into all of them as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And then within the living entities, the Lord expands as Kshiradakshay Vishnu, as the Paramatma in everyone's heart. And that's how everyone gets life. They all start working. They all are manifest. And this is all happening while the Lord is still exhaling. We live our 100 lifetimes. We live, 100 lifetimes of different kalpas. We live. Entire day of Brahma goes by. And then, when it is time for the Lord to inhale, when the Lord inhales back, all the cosmic manifestation goes back within him. And it's preserved. After we inhale, we also take a breath, right? There's a time when there is neither exhaling happening nor inhaling happening. It's just a, time of preserving. So the Lord keeps everyone preserved. And then again exhale. So there's creation again. Then there's annihilation again. Then there's preservance. Then again creation. So this is how the Supreme Lord is explaining the process of creation, annihilation, and preservation. Text 113 is explaining, prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist and no phenomena exists. You see, sometimes people tend to ask the question that, well, somebody must have created God also. How can there be a person, who is the creator? Somebody must have created that person also. Sometimes, crazy minds can say like that. But the definition of creator is that there's no one who has created him. He is the creator. That is the definition of creator. Means one who creates everything else. That is a creator. There's no one who has to make a creator. You're either a creator or you're not. So, similarly, here Krishna is saying that prior to the cosmic manifestation, only I exist. Krishna is declaring this, that please don't have any doubts. There's no doubt that I am the original creator. I am the original one, ekoham dvitiyo nasti. There's nobody like me. No doubt about it. It's only I who exist. And there's no other phenomena who exists, either gross, subtle, or primordial. No other manifestations are there. And after creation also, I continue to exist. So it's not that when Krishna is doing the creation and Mahavishnu exhales, and the creation, is manifest at that time, everyone comes out. It's not that Mahavishnu also comes out and there's no one as Mahavishnu. That position is empty. No, Mahavishnu stays there. Just like when we are exhaling, we know that we are exhaling, you know, so many bacteria, you know, of course, nowadays so much viruses, we're talking about, be safe, you know, of course. But yeah, we are, Krishna Chaitanya, we are exhaling. But that doesn't make us, you know, when we exhale, it's not that we are also going out into that exhalation. We are continuing to stay. And then when we are inhaling so many living entities into us who we are not able to see with our naked eye. But definitely living entities are going in, inside through our nostrils, through our mouth, whenever we are inhaling. And when we exhale, so many living entities come out who are not visible to our plain eye. But if we see, you know, microscope, if we have microscopic vision, we can see so many living entities roaming around. And every time we exhale and inhale, so many people are going in and out of our bodies. We'll be shocked. But that doesn't mean that our individuality is gone. People are entering. I'm saying people. Living entities are entering our own bodies. And living entities are exhaling from our own bodies. But we are still continuing to stay. So similarly, it's the same for, you know, principle applied to Krishna. When Mahavishnu is exhaling, when Mahavishnu is inhaling, he is staying as he is. This is a clear, you know, defeat of philosophy for the impersonalists, who say that the Lord doesn't have a personality, that when he is exhaling, there is no one. It's light. How can there be light? Can light breathe and, you know, inhale and exhale? No. Not possible. It has to be a person. So here, that's why Krishna is saying that after creation only I exist in everything, and after annihilation also, I remain eternally. So Krishna is saying, I am there eternally. It's not that I manifest and unmanifest along with the creation and annihilation. It doesn't happen like that. I am there all the time. I exist all the time. I mean, how much more verbal can a person be to say that I exist? Krishna is saying, look, don't call me to be an impersonal. I have an impersonal aspect, but I have this personal aspect, which is the source of the impersonal aspect. Please understand that. Krishna is shouting on the top of his lungs. He's giving us so much analogy that, look, I exist. I exist. Don't make me, you know, a non-existential person. Don't make me, you know, like that. Here in text 114, again, a very significant verse. It is explained here that Aham eva shloke aham tinabar purna ishwarya shri vigraha sthitira nirdhara means aham. Here you can see in the previous verse also, this word aham is used three times in the Vedic philosophy. Even in any philosophy, actually, when we want to stress certain importance of certain points, we say it three times. In the Mohammedan philosophy, when they are getting married, they say, Kubul hai, Kubul hai, Kubul hai. I agree, I accept, I accept, I accept. They have to say it three times. And when they want to have separation, married couple, when they want to have separation, they should say talak, talak, talak also three times. If they say it once, nothing happening. But if they say it three times, means it's done. You're done. You're done. Means it's a done deal. Even kubul hai, they have to say it three times. So that's from the Mohammedan philosophy. If we see the Vedic scriptures, our, you know, Vedic scriptures are saying, you know, nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva gatiranyata. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Three times harer nama. Harer nama, harer nama, harer nama eva kevalam. Kalo nasti eva, nasti eva, nasti eva gatiranyata. The first two lines, the second two lines mean the same thing actually. That only Harinam is the only way. Harinam eva kevalam. Harinam is the only way. Again, it is stressed in the third line and the fourth line by saying, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. How much more we need to be stressed that Harinam is the only way? So here also in this particular verse, Krishna is saying that aham, actually this verse is text 114, Mahaprabhu is explaining this. He's saying that aham, this word aham means I, Krishna, is being stressed three times. Mahaprabhu is continuing to explain this in text 115 also. He's saying that impersonalists do not accept the personal feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The personality of Godhead is stressed in this verse in order to impress upon them the necessity of accepting him. Therefore, the word aham is mentioned three times. To stress something important, one repeats it three times. This is Mahaprabhu's purport to the verse 113. 114 and 115 is Mahaprabhu's explanation that how, you know, aham is being stressed here three times by Krishna. So he has to be a person. It has to be a personality. Otherwise, he would not say aham, he would say it. It would not be a personality. But aham means I. It is a person. How can we, you know, not look into this kind of a detail? How can we choose to neglect this kind of a detail? It is being stressed three times. So we understand how important it is. Lord Krishna continues in text 116. Actual spiritual knowledge and its practical application are considered in all these sound vibrations. Although the external energy comes from me, I am different from it. So Krishna is saying that, you know, what the Mayavad philosophy and everyone, what they say, if you see a green parrot flying into a green tree, once the parrot flies inside the green tree, you don't see the parrot because it kind of merges into the green tree. But the parrot has a green nest inside that green tree also. We can't see it. But does that mean that the parrot has become one with the tree? No. The tree is continuing to exist. The parrot is staying inside the tree. And whenever it wants, it's coming out of the tree also. So even when it comes out of the tree still continues to exist. The parrot continues to exist. Everybody is individual. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, his abode, and us as living entities. So when we go to the spiritual world, we don't become one with Krishna. We don't do that. We have our separate existence with Krishna in loving service to Krishna. That is our constitutional position, to render loving service to Krishna. That is how we maintain our individuality while rendering service to Krishna. So Krishna is a person. We are also individual persons. And we are existing simultaneously. That is our Siddhanta. That is our principle, which is being stressed here by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Text 117 is saying, sometimes the reflection of the sun is experienced in place of the sun, but its illumination is never possible independent of the sun. Means that when we see that, oh, there is, you know, certain object, we may not be, like right now, I'm sitting here inside our home in front of our altar. And just opposite our altar, there's a window, and there are big trees. But I see that there is the shade of the trees, the reflection, the shadow of the trees is coming inside our house. I don't necessarily can see the sun actually outside. I can't see the sun. But I see the reflection of the object that is in between the sun and myself, which is the trees. I see the reflection of the trees coming inside our house. Now, what does this prove? That the existence of the shadow inside the house of the tree, it shows, is proof that there is a tree outside, and the reason why I'm having the shadow is because there is the sun, which is, you know, casting its light through the tree So therefore, it's reflecting here inside our house as a shadow. Simple philosophy to understand. So therefore, the sun is existing. Even though I cannot see the sun, but I can see the presence of the sun by the way the shadow is created here. That's what is explained here in this verse very beautifully by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And 118 is saying, when one is transcendentally situated, he can perceive me. This perception is the basis of one's relationship with the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is very, very, made it, you know, very, very clear that only if we are devotees of the Lord, only if we are situated transcendentally, only then we can understand. Bhakto sime sakha cheti. That Krishna is saying to Arjuna that because you are my friend and devotee, O Arjuna, you will be able to understand me. What does being friend with Krishna mean? I mean, we cannot ever be in the position of Arjuna. But what it means by being friend is that we have a cordial relationship with the Lord. We are not being envious of the Lord by just saying that, oh my Lord, you don't have any form. That's being envious of the Lord. To deny his existence, that is being envious of the Lord. But having friendly relation with the Lord is that, yes, Krishna, I know you are there for me. You are there, therefore I am here. I exist by your mercy. I know that you are here to save me. You are here to protect me. And I'm surviving by your mercy, O Krishna. That is a friendly gesture towards Krishna. And that, Krishna, you are mine, I am yours, and I just want to be engaged in your service and nothing else. That is being friendly gesture with Krishna. That is bhakto sime sakha cheti. So only when we are transcendentally situated, we will be able to understand Krishna. So now, all of us in this current situation that we have been put in, you know, by the current situation that we all are in, we have no other shelter other than the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. That our spiritual masters, our, you know, Guru Vargas, all of them are our only shelter. Krishna is our only shelter, chanting the holy names. When we seek shelter of the holy names, chant the holy names in this kind of situation, we can really try to seek shelter in every syllable of the holy name. Now we can realize what it means to chant helplessly. Because we really don't have anything in control. We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't know. Today we can really, all of us can say, we don't know what's going to happen in the next moment. Any of us can get affected. So what it really means to helplessly take shelter of the holy name, we can at least I am realizing it right now. The position of Mother Draupadi, when she was in that precarious condition where her husbands were not helping her, where the senior members of the Kuru dynasty, Dhritarashtra, Pitama, Bhishma, Vidura, all of these personalities, Dronacharya, they were not able to help her. Her glorious husbands, powerful, powerful husbands, not one, but five of them, all five of them were not able to help her. And she herself tried to save her dignity, and she could not. In that helpless condition, how Draupadi called out, Hey Govinda, Hey Krishna, please save me. That should be our condition when we seek shelter of the holy name. We should consider ourselves to be extremely fortunate to be put in this situation where Krishna is forcing us to seek shelter of the holy name. When we seek shelter of the holy name in this way, truly seek shelter helplessly, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna makes opportunities for us. When, you know, we are praying, we are begging to the holy name that Krishna, please, please engage me in your service. Then we not only just think about ourselves, we also think about how we can reach out to others in a situation like this, where we are confined in our own homes. How can we reach out to others? Of course, the holy names, the transcendental vibrations of the holy names, they can travel into ether. They can purify the atmosphere. So chanting a little loudly, sending the sound vibrations into ether will definitely purify the ether. Sitting at home, nowadays social media is such a it's such a vibrant way to reach out to regular people. So devotees actually should, you know, try to make as much videos as possible, put them on YouTube with, you know, inspirational messages, with messages to seek shelter of the holy names. That is the way that we can reach out to people in this kind of pandemic situation. And even while staying in the confines of our own homes, we can still try to reach out to the people. Krishna is so kind, Mahaprabhu is so kind, that he is making such kind of opportunities that we can, you know, make these kind of videos, make inspirational 1 minute, 2 minute videos with inspirational messages from our scriptures. We have, you know, like the diamond treasure house of knowledge, of pure Krishna prem. Let us share it with everybody. Little kids can make videos, just sit at home, chant, and, you know, just make inspirational videos, put it out in the open for everyone to see. Upload your videos, inspirational videos, a minute video, how you're spending your day, and put it out. Let people see how we are able to take shelter of the holy names. Then that is the way that we can make a difference in the lives of people, because at the time of crisis is the best time to attract souls back to Krishna. So let us utilize this time not only to purify ourselves, but to try and see how we can reach out to others, help others. You know, let's reclaim other souls, bring them, and along with them, you know, go back home, back to Godhead. So with this, we will end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. ISKCON Vartaman Guru Vrinda ki jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Sitanath Premanande. Hari Hari Bo. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class. Is there anybody having any questions? Mataji, I have one question.
Yes.
Mataji, you are telling inhalation and breathe intake and out. So that time the creation comes, like living beings comes in and goes out, right? You said there is a time where there is no breathe in and breathe out. So that time, what is the position or what is the activity of that jiva, Mataji?
It is said that they are in a dreaming state inside when they just, you know, rest in the body of Mahavishnu. So they just rest at that time in the body of Mahavishnu. So it's almost like in a dreaming state, you know, where everyone is just like in the state of coma, you know, almost like that. So just entering and staying there. They are just preserved at that time till the time that they come out again.
Okay. Yeah, and one more thing, you are talking that when we are also breathing, what is that, Mataji? Can you tell me again? I missed that point. We are also creating beings. I mean, like, I don't know, I did not get it properly. Can you please repeat it, Mataji?
I was just giving the analogy that we can understand the breathing in and breathing out of Mahavishnu in comparison to the way that we breathe in and we breathe out. You know, when we are breathing in, if we see with a microscope, we are actually breathing in a lot of living entities in the form of bacteria and viruses and stuff like that, right? So we are breathing in so many living entities, which we cannot see with our naked eyes. But we are breathing in so many living entities. And when we are breathing out, so many living entities are also coming out. You know, that's what I was saying. So similarly, we are breathing in and breathing out, you know, microorganisms, but Mahavishnu is breathing in and breathing out all of us and entire cosmic manifestations. So, like that. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, Mataji, thank you. Is there anybody having any more questions?
Thank you, Mataji, for that analogy. That really helped.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Any other questions or comments, reflections?
Hare Krishna, is there anybody having any more questions for Mataji?
Anyways, we'd like to thank all our online viewers. Thank you for your beautiful comments and thank you for being there with us. Thank you all so much. Hare Krishna.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, Mataji, once again for such a beautiful class.